So this morning we're dealing again with disciplines. Today we're going to be talking about the discipline of service. And when we began this series, we had stated that disciplines are not really a list of do's and don'ts. But disciplines are changes in our behavior. And this is especially true for the discipline of service. While all the disciplines are performed by individuals, the next few weeks we're going to be talking about disciplines that are corporate in structure or for the church in general. And so this is the first one that we're going to come to. You might say, well, service, is that the church or is that individual? And again, it's going to be performed by individuals, but it's really a corporate or a church as a whole kind of idea. This morning's discipline may sting a little bit. It stung me a lot this week. I struggled with this during the week. It was difficult for me to do this study, and I wrestled a lot with it. So if you find it difficult, don't feel alone in that. The concept of service is often misunderstood and misapplied. So we're going to look at that today and go through that. Our scripture for this morning is 1 John 2:16. Listen to what John writes in his letter here. He says, "For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, and pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world." Let's pray. God, I thank you for this day. I thank you for your word. I thank you that you led men to write what you had to say to us so that we could read it today, so that we could study it and understand it, so that we could apply it in our lives. And Father, I pray that you will help us to really understand what your word has to say today, that we will not look at it and walk away as we would from a mirror, not remembering anything, as James tells us. But rather, Father, that we would look at it, that it would fill our heart, that we would contemplate, meditate upon it. It would change us and cause us to be people whom you will use to reach out into the world. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. In John's first letter, he points out that all the things that are desires of the flesh, desires of the eyes, pride of life, he says, these are all things that are not of God. They're all things that are of the world. And we know who rules the world. Whose realm is the world is Satan. So if all these things are not of God but of the world, they're really coming at us from Satan. And so we need to be really careful when we begin to look at service and the way that we view service to understand that we need to be looking at it from God's point of view. And this is where it becomes difficult, particularly for me when I was going through that this week. If you are serving, you are in control. You make all the decisions. You serve when you want to serve. You may couch it in a feeling, you know, I have this feeling that God wants me to do this. But ultimately, you're making that decision. You decide what you're going to do. And so you're typically going to find that you do the things you like to do and not necessarily the things you're called to do. That's true about whom you serve as well. Because it's always easy to serve the person you like. It's always easy to serve the person who gives you the pat on the back or who can return a favor for you. You often serve when you find you're going to get noticed for it. And getting praise will be a big motivator for your service. Serving is likely to be self-righteous acts rather than righteous acts of God. This does not make serving bad or evil, but it's not Christ-like service, and that's what we're looking for. Being a servant is being Christ-like. When you're a servant, you serve when a need arises, regardless of what it is. It is the need that God has put before you, and it's not your choice, but it's His choice. You serve whomever God leads you to serve, no matter who it is or how you feel about it. The person you serve is chosen by God, and it is determined by what He wills. You also serve the way God shows you. You don't get to decide these things, but rather you're responding to the needs that God has placed before you. The church needs to begin to become servants of God. We need to begin to seek what God has called us to. You know, in Acts 6, chapter 6, verses 1 through 7, the church had a need that was required to be filled. If you go back and read that, there were people within the church, widows, who were not being taken care of very well. And there was a dispute that came among the believers. And they said, hey, these widows over here aren't being taken care of as well as these widows over here. And so there was a need that came about. And the church went and chose men who were good men filled with the Holy Spirit. They weren't chosen because they were the most popular or because they were great businessmen who would know how to figure this all out. They were chosen because they were men who were led by the Holy Spirit. They didn't even volunteer because they wanted to be in the limelight. They were chosen because God was leading them. They were chosen because He had made them servants and not servers. The next thought about your desire is where it comes from. And this is a tough one. Am I filled with pride or am I filled with humility in my service? I was reading a book by a guy named Richard Foster, and he's talking about spiritual disciplines. And he talks about it this way, and it struck me, so I'm going to throw it at you. To think you have humility is sure evidence that you do not. Think about that. Humility is not something we command or something we're gifted in. Humility is something that comes upon us when we're being servants for God. Because when we are true servants for God, God is getting all the glory. God is seeing everything. God is knowing what we're doing and He's leading us to do it. And nobody else needs to know about it. And that's when humility begins to fall upon you. Prior to that, if you're serving, very often you want to make sure everyone knows what you're doing. Did you see what I did? Look at how nice it was. Did you see that? Isn't that beautiful? There's no humility in that. But when people walk around and go, who the heck did that? That's when humility comes in, because you don't care. Because what's most important is God. If you want everyone to know what you're doing, then you need to be very careful, because sin is crouching at your door. Satan is waiting. He's tempting you. Go and tell him. Tell him it was you. You deserve the credit. You worked hard on that. You should get something for that. That's what Satan's telling us. What's God saying? Do this because I asked you to do it. Do this because it's important to me. Do this because I want this to be done. That's what my will is. And when we begin to serve in that manner, we're being servants to God. One of the things that makes servanthood in God so effective is anonymity. Nobody knowing, nobody seeing. Now, I know there are things that we do in service that are obvious, and it's hard not to see them. But that's okay. That doesn't make them wrong. It's just, where is our desire? Where is our heart at? We need to be careful that we are a servant of God Almighty. Trust me, He doesn't need your service. But we need to be His servant. He doesn't need us, we need Him. He's God Almighty, He's creator of everything. He can do anything He wants. He doesn't require anything from us, but we require everything from Him. We need to understand that, keep that in mind when we're doing the things that He calls us to do. We have to remember that we're doing the work of God and not the work that we think God wants us to do. The attitude or desire we have is to be directed toward God and being His servant. You know, we can even go as far as to say, and Paul was right in saying this, that we have made ourselves slaves to God. That comes with a really negative connotation because the world does that. But imagine, what makes slavery so awful is who the master is. But if my master is God Almighty, being His slave is a wonderful thing because He's so loving and kind and wonderful to His slave. He cares for and watches out for and walks with and provides for His servant. And that's why Paul called himself a slave for God. In John 13, verses 3 through 5, I'm going to read this for you. I want you to listen to this and just listen to what it says. This is the story when Jesus washed the disciples' feet. But listen to what it says. I'm not going to give you this whole story. I just want you to hear verses 3 to 5 here. It says that Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into His hands, and that He had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. He laid aside His outer garments, and taking a towel, tied it around His waist. Then He poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel He had wrapped around Him. Notice what the scripture says. Jesus knew who He was. He knew He was the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He was the creator of the universe. In fact, in John 1, it says that everything that was created through Him, and that nothing was created except by Him. That's who's standing there. The creator of the world. And John tells us that he noticed that He was there. And yet, He's the one who gets down on His hands and knees and washes their feet. This was a common thing, washing of feet, because they walked in sandals on dirt roads. And so when you came into a home, it was common for there to be a servant to wash your feet, or to be the water and towels so that you could wash your own feet, or to provide for that. And here He is in this room, and nobody has washed anybody's feet because they're all so stuck up about themselves and they're arguing about who they are. But here's Jesus, and He gets down on His hands and knees and He washes their feet because He sees the need. And He fills the need. You see, they had walked together in this house. They came on the same road at the same time. Nobody was there who was any different from anybody else. Yet none of them were willing to stoop to such a menial task. Nobody was going to wash their feet. So instead, They're arguing about who's the greatest of all. I'm the greatest. No, I'm the greatest. I get more. You know, Jesus likes me better than he likes you. I heard him say so. You listen to all of that, and you can imagine them talking to each other. And yet, none of them stop to say, hey, let me help you out and wash your feet. And so Jesus did it. When we decide to be a servant of God, we give up the right to control. We give up the right to make the decision. We're a servant. We do what we're told to do. We must do as our master tells us. What to do, when to do it, how to do it, and to whom to do it. None of that is our decision. All of that becomes the decision of our master. So let's be brutally honest with each other. None of us like this idea. If you do, you're highly unusual. None of us want to give up control. If you're an A-type person, like me, then you really don't want to give up control, because control is what drives you. We don't like it. We don't want to give up control. We want to make all the decisions. And then we can do the things we like to the people we like when it's convenient for us in a manner that makes us feel good. And then we can pat ourselves on the back and say, oh, what a good boy am I. That's not being God's servant. Service is not a list of things to do, but a life of doing what God wants us to do. Romans 12:2 tells us that God wants to transform us by renewing our minds. He wants to take control of us and completely change us. That's what transforming means. You know, if you're a kid and you get those transformers, you take that little car, and if you bend it right, don't break it like I do, then it becomes something else. Well, that's what God is doing with us. He's transforming us into something else. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, Paul tells us that we are a new creation. Our old self is dead, and a new person has appeared. That's new creation. He didn't just put whitewash on it. He didn't give us a new haircut and clean clothes, and that same dirty old person is underneath. No, God has created new from the old. The old is dead. Behold, the new is here. We have been made in the image or character of Christ, the servant of God. That's who we are. That's who we're supposed to have become. That is what God is transforming us into. So now we have to know, and we have to begin to live like the people that we have been made into. We're being transformed to be like Jesus. Well, Matthew 20:28 says that Jesus didn't come to be served, but to serve. And if that's what we are to be like, we need to be like that. We are here to serve just as Jesus was. And we are to be obedient servants of God. So let's look at some ideas of service. What are things that we would look at? I guarantee you, the things that are running through your mind right now are not the things I'm about to talk about. Because we think of things like, I could clean, I could go and do this, I could be a leader, I could walk, I could take things around, I could move stuff. Let's think about some of the things that God tells us are part of service. Consider this, the guarding of others' reputation. In Titus 3:2, Paul tells us to speak no evil of no one. To speak evil of no one. Speak evil of no one. To avoid quarreling. Paul tells us that we're not to allow things like backbiting and gossip to take place within the body. We should not be a part of slanderous talk about others. We should refuse to speak it, and more importantly, we should refuse to listen to it. If someone begins to share gossip, we should stop them and not listen to it. If we find ourselves involved in speaking it, we should stop ourselves and refuse to go any further. This prevents others from having negative or false comments being made about them and opinions being placed on them. It allows for harmonious unity within the body because no one's talking about you behind your back, and you can have confidence that that's the case. Gossip is a horrible thing in a group. It's a terrible thing for a church to have, and we need to avoid it. How about the service of being served? Here's a tough one. When Jesus went to wash the disciples' feet, Peter objected. You're not going to wash my feet. Now, it kind of sounds like he's being humble. No, God, I don't want you to do that. I don't think that was Peter's motive. That doesn't seem to fit Peter's personality. Instead, Peter had this veiled humility because he knew if Jesus did that to him and he knew who Jesus was, he was going to have to do the same thing. And Peter wasn't thrilled about getting down on his hands and knees. You see, Peter was worried that if Jesus did this, he was going to have to do it. And you know what? That's absolutely true. Since Jesus did that, we're going to have to do it. Just as we want to obey God as servants, others want to obey God as servants. And that means sometimes they're going to serve you. And we need to be gracious and say, thank you. Because that allows them to fulfill what God has called them to do. Instead of being prideful and saying, no, you're not going to do that for me. I can take care of myself. You don't need to do that. No, because now we're stifling what God has called them to do. We need to be willing to allow each other to serve us, and we need to be willing to serve each other. How about the basic service of courteousness? Again, in Titus, listen to what Paul says to Titus in chapter 3, verse 2. At the end of that, he says, and to show perfect courtesy toward all people. When we speak to somebody, we need to show them perfect courtesy. Perfect means complete. Complete courtesy. When someone asks, when we ask somebody how they are, what's the comment? Hey, how are you? And I'm walking away. I didn't even listen to what they had to say. They're going, When we ask somebody how they are, we need to stop and listen with genuine interest and concern to what they have to say. Because if I'm asking somebody for that, I need to listen to what they say. When you go to a restaurant, do you ask for the choice you want? Or you just demand it from the server? Think about this. The next time you go to a restaurant, listen to how you order. I'll have. Give me. Bring me this. Do you ever say please and thank you? No, all my life my mother said, say please and thank you. What's the matter with you? Right? And yet we go to a restaurant, we show nobody any courtesy. We're demanding of everything, as if it's their job, therefore they must do it. Who am I? Am I Pharaoh? Am I Caesar that I can just demand of people? No, We need to show courtesy, and we need to show courtesy to each other, to say please and thank you and how are you and listen to what they say. Common courtesies are things that the church should be known for. They should not be absent from us just because they're absent in the world. We are giving that person the what they deserve, that they are special in God's eye. When you listen, when you give common courtesy, you're letting that person know God Almighty thinks you are so important that he sent his son to die for you, and therefore what you have to say and who you are is important to me because you're that important to my God. And if you're that important to my God, I better treat you like you're important. Imagine if we all changed that attitude in our life. And trust me, I'm just as guilty of it. I go to the restaurant and I find myself saying, I'll have. So now I'm working on that. I've been going out and going, may I please? Have you ever noticed when the server comes over and they say, how's everyone doing? And everyone goes, ah. Turn to the server, look them in the eye and say, I'm great. How are you? I can't tell you how many times I've had people go, wow, thanks for asking. Because nobody cares. Let's be courteous as people of God and show the world that he is making a difference in us. Now I'm going to come to the toughest one for me. The service of listening. We are advised in James chapter 1, verse 19, to be quick to listen and slow to speak. And this is a really difficult concept for people like me who like to talk. Because I like to talk. So if you give me the opportunity, I will stand here and talk. And I can talk all day long. I could keep Congress from doing anything for weeks on end. I am the king of filibuster. This is a difficult concept, the idea of listening. There's an old saying that God gave us two ears and one mouth for a reason. Think about it. Quick to listen. That means the first thing you do when you go into a conversation is close your mouth and listen. Listen to what the other person has to say. This is an active pursuit. This is not something that comes natural to us. You may not be a big talker, but listening is a difficult thing to do. It's not just being silent. Listening means that you are actively hearing what the person is saying, and you're considering their words and understanding what they are telling you. Have you ever met people who aren't listening at all? They're silent only so they can decide what the next thing they're going to say to you is and look for a point where they can stop you and interject. And you can tell by what they're saying, they didn't hear a single word that you said. And they didn't, because they weren't listening to you. They were listening to themselves. They were thinking about the next point they wanted to make. And they were looking for an opportunity to get it in. And that's all they cared about. The other person you meet is so anxious to answer your question, and I'm totally guilty of this, so anxious to answer your question, they don't really listen to the whole question. They're telling you the answer or giving you their advice before you ever finished your sentence. Right? Proverbs tells us to be cautious of that because we make a fool of ourselves sometimes when we answer the question and the person goes, that's not what I was asking. I was just leading up to my question, and now you've answered something I didn't need to answer. But aren't we guilty of that? Or am I the only one? Being a listener requires effort on our part to hear what the person is saying. Neither of those people I just described are listening. Not the way God called us. He calls us to to listen to what the person is saying, to understand what they're sharing, what they're going through, what they're trying to tell us. Being a good listener requires patience. It's effort, and it's a willingness to do God's will and not our own. It's not easy, and it doesn't come naturally to us, but it is something we can learn to do. Lastly, I want you to consider the service of bearing one another's burdens. In Galatians 6:2, Paul tells us that this is how we're fulfilling the law of Jesus. Remember, Jesus said, "I give you a new commandment that you would love one another." Bearing burdens is not natural. And if you're like me, bearing burdens is something that's hard to do. Because somebody comes to you and wants to bear their burden, and I tend to want to go the other direction. I don't want to get involved. This is not natural, but we have to learn this process. To bear is to participate in their suffering. To weep when they weep. To sit quietly while they grieve. To love them in their loss or suffering without being in the middle of it. We come alongside them and we walk with them and we help them to deal with their suffering. And this is how we bear each other's burdens. And this is not an easy thing to do. We are Christ's servant. And in doing this, we are used by Him to lighten their load. Remember, Jesus said, "Come to me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Why does my burden become light for you? Because I have brothers and sisters who will walk with you, who will bear your burden, who will help you lift that load and carry it so that you don't have to do it all by yourself. These are things that we're called to do as God's people. They are not to fall on the shoulders of any one person, but they are to be things that we corporately do with each other. To listen to each other, to bear each other's burdens, to walk with each other, to hold each other up, to encourage each other, to lead each other, to share God's word with each other. These are things that we're called as God's servant to do. They're not easy. Sometimes they're highly difficult. But it's what God calls us to, and He will teach us to do them. This is not expansive of everything that God calls us to. But these are a few things that God calls us to. And we need to be open to doing them and be available to God when He calls us. We have to remember that God calls us to do His will, His way, and in His time. And being a servant for God and not a servant of our own desires is what He wants. Jesus gave an example to His disciples. In John 13, where He washes their feet, listen to what He says as He gets up. He's washed their feet. He takes His towel off. He puts His garments back on. He sits back down at the table, and He looks at them and He says, "You call me teacher and Lord, and you're right, for so I am. If then your Lord and teacher have washed your feet, you also ought to go out and wash one another's feet." Now, Jesus wasn't telling us to put a rag around our waist and go wash each other's feet. He was telling something way more difficult and way more important. He was saying, if I, who am the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the Creator of all things, am willing to bear your life out, to walk with you, to listen to you, to put up with you, to bear your burdens, to share the good news with you. If I am willing to do that, and you call me your Lord and Savior, you call me your Master and King, then you better do the same things I do. Because if you are going to become like me, which is what God has called us to do, then you better be like me. And that is a challenge. And if it's not a challenge to you, then good, because you're doing a great job. But I found it very challenging this week to say to myself, why do you do what you do? Do you do it to get your own pleasure? Do you do it so people will look at you? Do you do it because you think this is what God wants? Or am I doing the things that I do because God is saying, get up and go do this for me? Get up and take care of this for me. We need to look at why we do everything that we do. And we need to start seeking God and saying, God, I am your servant. I will do what you call me to do, when you call me to do it, and I will do it to whomever you choose, no matter how difficult that is. Let's pray. Father,